your host, Mike Holt. Well, welcome aboard, Kevin. It's really good to see you, and happy new year.
It's good to see you too, Mike.
You've been pretty busy over there, haven't you? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, the last day of the year, it's a good time to talk about this because the whole year basically has been for me the organizing first local common law assemblies and then uniting those into Movement for a Republic in Canada. Mm-hmm. I can tell you honestly that I haven't had this kind of success in nearly 20 years in terms of the response from people.
Yeah.
I mean, there really isn't enough hours in the day to keep up with everybody volunteering, right?
Welcome to my world. We're doing the same thing here, and it's just taken off.
Yeah, it has. The downside has been that people think they want to get involved in something, and then when they actually get into it, a lot of them pull back. And you know, it's fine to talk about self-governance, but when you look at the actually taking responsibility for power in your own community and that, a lot of the conditioning people have kicks in, the fear, the needing for, you know, some other authority figure to say to you, yeah, it's okay for you to be doing this, right? Rather than the authority coming from within yourself. Mm. So I think, you know, a lot of people have yet to learn that. They like the idea, but it's really a small handful, really, who keep leading this fight forward. And that's something we've learned in spades over the last year, you know?
Yeah, we're finding the same thing here to a certain extent, but there are so many people down here who are dissatisfied. Oh, and I should mention to my viewers, in case they're not aware of it, Kevin comes from Canada, and you can look him up on Google and on YouTube. So I won't waste your time telling you too much about his background, but he, like us, actually, Kevin inspired me to start the first assembly here in Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and it's just gone crazy since then. And as you said, one of the biggest problems, well, is first of all administration, and we're now looking at the website, dividing the website up into five different sections so that we can manage each section of the common law business. The first one will be a general website to inform people in general. We'll have one for the court, we'll have one for the sheriffs, we'll have one for the education system, and we'll have another one for something else, I forget now. But so we're breaking it all down. And if you might recall, a couple of months ago, I asked you if you would be interested in coming onto our platform. Well, unfortunately, the guy that was running that just completely destroyed any relationship with us. Because he was charging us a lot of money for this technology that he supplied. We didn't ask for it. And when we asked him to stop, he blew up and just cut us off from everything. So we've been working now to get the recordings, you know, for things like your live birth and stuff like that. We're getting that back online now. And some of them are online, and we'll have the rest of them online before the end of the month. So yeah, we're facing teething problems, but as you said, the other problem is getting people to stand up for their rights and basically grow a backbone. And I'm constantly telling people at our assembly meetings, look, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths, a brave man only dies once. So stand up for your rights. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it's something that in practice, people by and large do not want to take the risk of losing the security they have. Mm. And you have to really, I think one of the kind of people who go through this and keep fighting are those who've already lost a lot anyway. They've come up against the system. They know how vicious it is. And you know, their life is on the line in some way, right? It isn't just a nice idea. You do it because your life depends on it. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who you can rely on. But in Canada especially, I mean, you know, there's this whole identification with the whole British way of looking at things, which is, you know, you behave, you follow the laws, the government will take care of you. Controversy is not a nice idea. We're not like those bad Americans, right, who are always going about their inalienable rights. I mean, you know, we'll be taken care of if you play the game. That's really embedded in the whole Canadian culture. And I think I don't see that on, among Australians as much, for sure.
You'd be surprised, mate. It's the same thing down here. There's a lot of people who are just totally brainwashed by the government. Yeah, the government's there to do the right thing by us. But I don't know if you saw that video I put up the other day on YouTube. It's called How the Australian Government Just Deliberately Destroyed Our Country. You know, I've explained how they've done this over the last 70 years. And they started by taking control of our Governor General, who is the representative of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom, not the Queen of Australia. We don't have one of them. And then they've gradually, you know, step by step, they've taken away our rights and freedoms. And most of the Australian people, including myself for a long time, didn't realise. And this is how these governments work. They're very sneaky, very, very sneaky. So what I'm trying to do now and help people to understand is that how sneaky they are and the danger that we're in. And I swore an oath of allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II to protect this country and to protect our law. And that's what I'm doing even today.
Are you interested in podcasts that uncover the truth? Tune into Widdershins Podcast. Straight from science fiction, we uncover the technologies being developed right under our noses. We bring to you the world's leading scientists, engineers, and experts to discover just how far away these things really are from becoming our reality. www.widdershinspodcast.com.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good to compare our different experiences because I was really tickled pink when you guys decided to use my Common Law Training Manual book, and I'm glad it's helped so much. But folks need to know that that came out of 20 years of experience of trying to use the courts in Canada, first exposing the genocide of Native people here, which I was campaigning on for many years. But also child trafficking, you know, the erosion of our civil rights, all of that, we found the legal system is just stacked against anybody who goes up against the system. So people who haven't read this stuff should go to murderbydecree.com, you know, to see some of that history, and also republicofcanada.ca. Now, I know we have, in Canada, we've got a different take on that word republic, but we understand it as simply people exerting their own sovereign authority, not just as individuals, but within a whole community that's, you know, based on that practical use of self-governance every day, that the government arises from us, not the other way around, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people in Australia are a bit leery about using the word republic because the political parties have already created a de facto republic when they took the Queen out of the Constitution in 1973. And then they passed this fake Australia Act in 1986. And since then, we've had two referendums asking us if we would like to become a republic. And both times, the Australian people have said, no, we want to stay under the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act, which is our supreme law. So we're not asking people to think about even forming a republic at this stage. But what we are saying is that we are moving back under our Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1901. And from there, because then the Australian people can vote in referendums to amend our constitution, we will initiate a series of referendums after a lot of education programs, then to lead people, if they like, I mean, it's going to be their decision, towards deciding what sort of a future this country needs to have. Government and social. So, you know, we face a huge uphill task, and yours is relatively easier than ours because you're starting fresh, whereas we're getting back to the original and then having to, try and change everything.
That's kind of like the American situation, right, where they have to restore a republic that's been taken from them. And, you know, I mean, I saw a definition once of republic, meaning there is no one sovereign. The people are sovereign. And that's kind of the whole idea is that you don't really delegate sovereignty to anybody else. You exercise it personally, right? And it's a new idea for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, well, most people have been brought up, especially here in Australia, to rely on the government. You often hear people say, oh, that's terrible. Why isn't the government doing something? Well, hello, the government is doing it. They're doing it to us. And when I point that out, people's eyes pop out of their heads and they go, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So they've just got to understand what they're looking at. And then, you know, we're offering a lot of educational programs now to help people to comprehend what's going on. I've been doing a series of videos with a guy called Dick Yardley, who wrote a fantastic book, which I think I've mentioned to you before. And yeah, it's all about the treason and treachery that's been performed by the political parties.
Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today.
You know, we've got to take it beyond that. And your idea of setting up common law assemblies according to the ancient principles of common law in the United Kingdom, that's a great idea, mate. And people really love it because we're empowering people to take responsibility for themselves. And that's what it's
right. Like. And you know, it's simple to do. 12 people can sign a charter and then they're an assembly that can pass their own laws and enforce them. Exactly. And when we did that, what was interesting in Canada, like I was struggling since February to do this in the face of all these COVID measures and everything, people really jumped on board because they saw what was at stake, you know, that their rights were being just stripped from them.
Yep.
And it's pretty easy to get people to sign a charter. But then when you start passing laws, you say, well, we have to enforce those laws. So how are you going to do that? And we need our own sheriffs. We need to deputize existing ones. And again, people balked when they had to do that. Mm-hmm. So what we found we had to do is we had a council, national council of all delegates from all these assemblies. And they passed a national law on September 8th. And you can see this on our republicofcanada.ca site. And what the law said is these COVID measures are unlawful, they're unhealthy, and we nullify them. Yes. So we've actually gone into situations and handed people the law and said, you can be prosecuted under the law for enforcing these COVID measures because the people in assembly have passed a law saying they're null and void, right?
Right. Actually, you should have a look at this. That's my sheriff badge. And I was one of 12 people elected by our assembly to become a sheriff. And we then passed a bylaw banning all COVID restrictions on the Sunshine Coast. Brisbane has just done it. Perth is about to. Caboolture, we're hoping that they will do that very soon. And assemblies all around this Australia, up in Gympie, et cetera, they're all starting to do the same thing. And we've prepared a bylaw COVID restrictions business pack, which includes information about the 1946 referendum the Australian people voted on. And they voted to allow the government to provide certain dental and medical services, but not, and it's in brackets in the actual constitution, but not so as to force us. So the Australian government is actually acting unconstitutionally because that amendment was passed by the Australian people.
Yeah, that's good. People have to be educated about that because under international law, the Nuremberg Code of 1947 says you can't impose medical procedures without informed consent.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, people can just say, forget it, right? We don't have to oblige with this.
No, that's correct. Unfortunately, I've been taking the bylaw around to some businesses here. And so far, I've only run into one guy who was just so brainwashed. You know, he said, oh, you're accusing me of breaking the law. Get the hell out, you know, sort of thing. But, well, hello, you are breaking the law now. But they just don't get it. But most people really were very pleased. When I went into the shops, I said, "Do you, I see you've still got the COVID restriction signs up. Do you know that that's actually, you don't actually have to comply with that?" And they go, "Why?" And I explain why. And they go, "Oh, fantastic. Give me the bylaw." So a lot of shops now are starting to see this. But, you know, even social pressure now, though, is coming on. There was a case a couple of days ago of a guitar shop down in Caboolture who put up a big sign, if you're wearing a mask, don't come in. And there was so much vilification of him that he had to rescind it, which is sad. But I've just written him an email and I've explained what's going on. And the Caboolture Assembly will be passing a bylaw very soon. So he will have the support of the Caboolture Assembly. So, you know, when you start empowering people, that's when we can start making significant change.
Yeah.
But education is key.
The sheriff training is such an important part of that because, you know, they're, I don't know how far you've gone with that, but like the, you know, getting deputies trained and all that and practicing, the best training is when you go and do it, right?
Exactly. Well, so far we've done mostly self-defense training because we've got one of our sheriffs that runs a martial arts business. But we're also now examining all the ways that sheriffs can behave socially, lawfully, how to help people. We've got three sheriffs down in Logan in South Brisbane doing a fantastic job down there. You know, when they see a policeman pull over a car, they actually stop and make sure that the policeman is behaving lawfully and not intimidating the motorist, and then also informing the policeman about his duties and the law. So this is how we can reach out to these people and get them to understand that the people are sovereign and we are supreme. In fact, the first three words of our constitution are, whereas the people, which establishes us as the supreme authority over the parliament and even over the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've mentioned to you before that Canada doesn't have a constitution, but I've since found out that you do. Have you learned about that?
Well, it's called a constitution, but it's an act of parliament, of course. And so it's considered statute, which can be revoked at any point. You know, there's a notwithstanding clause in the Canadian Charter of Rights. And it says you have these rights, these four rights, but they can be rescinded at any point. If there's a war, public health emergency, well, anything, right? They can just be revoked. And in a genuine constitution, you can't do that.
No.
The rights are inviolate. And for one thing, you need a court order. You can't just have a decree from somebody coming out.
No, they're doing it.
And none of these COVID measures are based on any court of law or any legislature. So that's what we say to cops. We hand cops letters recently saying, you know, you're not compelled to enforce any of these measures like mandatory vaccinations because they're not coming from any lawful authority.
Right.
Whereas our law is. It's coming from we the people, right?
Exactly. You know, once people start to understand that these COVID restrictions, they don't have any basis in reality. They can't even prove that the COVID virus exists. So how can they vaccinate against something that doesn't exist? It's all about control.
Well, and, you know, suffocating yourself with a little muzzle over your face that doesn't even keep out a virus, which is too microscopic, you know, for a mask to work. I mean, it doesn't make any logical sense. But sometimes I think, Mike, this is a big experiment to see how far they can go, how stupid people are, how willing they are to comply. And it seems to be working to a large degree, right?
Well, yeah, you'd think so. But then again, what we're seeing down here is, I don't know, maybe us Aussies are a bit of curmudgeons, but there's a lot of people now who have had enough of this dictatorial government style, and they are finding out about common law, and they're starting to ask, you know, how can we form an assembly? Now, we've had a couple of big groups, mostly down in Victoria, come to us and say, well, we want to get on board. We want to start setting up assemblies. And both of these groups have thousands of members around Australia. So I'm talking to their leaders now and encouraging them to do that. A few weeks ago, I went down to the Gold Coast at the invitation of two of the leaders of one of the groups, and they invited me to go down there as a common law sheriff and marry these two couples. So how about that?
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we got to be doing. We set up kind of almost a parallel system of government, and you start working in it and ignore the existing one, right?
Exactly, yeah. And that, you know, when people start to realize that the current legislative government has no authority whatsoever, and that's what my last video explained, people start going, well, why are we obeying them? We don't need to. We've got common law. That's the common law of the people. So, you know, all we have to do is start showing people that it can be done. So I'm very grateful to you, Kevin, for your inspiration that you started this off over there, and now we've taken this idea in Australia and run with it. But, you know.
Well, it's the idea of sovereignty. It's like a virus. It spreads quick.
It does. And I hear it's also spreading to countries like Poland, Sweden, and perhaps even Germany. I'm not sure about Germany, but I've heard rumors.
I've had Zoom calls with people all over Europe, Russia, who they have a different word for it. They call it more not common law, but the law of nature.
Right.
You know, the law that's born in us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the law of the land, the law of the people. Yeah, exactly.
If you're enjoying the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast, please consider donating to help keep us going. You can donate just once or make it a monthly donation. Any amount is welcome. To donate, go to our website at www.thebloodyaussiebattler.com and click on Donate.
I'll be joining you soon on one of your Zoom calls too, won't I?
That's right. I'm just waiting to hear from my radio show is based out of a station in California, and they were wiped out by a recent fire. So they're trying to get their technical stuff on, you know, online again. So hopefully it'll be this Sunday, Mike, 3 p.m. Pacific time. But I'll let you know within a day of to make sure just to confirm that. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's called Here We Stand, and the link is bbsradio.com/herewestand.
All right. If you can put that in the chat room there for me,
yeah,
I'll make sure I make a note of it.
One thing I should mention to people watching this is in April, we're doing a national convention, a constitutional convention to create a republic constitution in Canada.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to be leading up to that, a lot of talk about how people write their own constitution and, you know, make it the highest law of the land, right?
Well, so, I suggest you look at ours because
although
ours is not perfect, there's a lot of good stuff in there that you might be able to use, especially with regards to organizing the government and the restrictions that it should be under.
Right.
Because, for instance, in Section 7 and 24 of our constitution, it states very clearly that the representatives for the Senate and the lower house can only be selected by the people, not by political parties. Our constitution doesn't mention political parties, and yet we're dominated by political parties here. So that's a very good one. We've got Section 128, which gives the power to the people, only to the people, to amend our constitution voting in referendums. Section 51 lays out the responsibilities of the federal government. And there's another section there that lays out the state government responsibilities. So there's a lot of good stuff in our constitution that you might find very helpful.
I certainly will look at that, Mike.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's great.
I've read the American constitution and ours, and to be honest with you, I think ours is better in many ways.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have these ridiculous things like an electoral college and, you know, the carryover from kind of like a more monarchical tradition where you had a final authority that could negate the will of the people, right?
Mm.
But so that's good. I look forward to reading that.
Yeah. You can download that off the Common Law website under Downloads. Okay. Well, it looks like we lost Kevin. I'm sorry, but something happened to his internet. He has problems with that quite often. So we'll say goodbye to Kevin and thank you very much. It was great talking to you, mate, and I look forward to working with you a lot more during the coming year. It's exciting times, that's for sure. Bye for now.
If you have chosen the red pill, then there is only one place to host your website. And hosting. No censorship. Domains, hosting, secure. Build your website and get online fast. www.redpillhosting.com